Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Riders Up alongside John Gaver. I'm Frank Lyons. How are you, John?
All good today, buddy. Yeah. All good.
A week till Breeders' Cup, or week since Breeders' Cup, and we'll recap the Breeders' Cup. We're also going to preview today's Red Smith from Aqueduct and the Commonwealth from Churchill Downs, and we're also going to have Frank Miramati, race caller and all-round character and great enthusiast for the game. And we'll also have Pete Miller, who won the Breeders' Cup sprint last week with Roy H, and also won the turf sprint with Stormy Liberal, and Richard's boy finished second. So
it's a pretty huge day for a Southern California boy, that's for certain.
That's right. And you know, I knew Pete when he only had like two or three horses.
That's awesome. Just to watch his reaction on NBC after both those races. I mean, to run 1-2 in the turf sprint race is, you know, that'd cap off your day in and of itself. But then to come back with a nice horse.
Yeah.
That, and Roy H, who had a live shot in there on paper, I thought it capped off a great day. Really happy for him. Charlie Whittingham, I believe he was.
That's right. Exactly. Charlie Whittingham is right. And I'm also going to get some information from Pete, because I believe that he may have claimed those two horses, Stormy Liberal and Roy H, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a sharp claiming guy to begin with, and I'm pretty certain about Roy H. I was trying to look it up before we came on the air, but... And, you know, Richard's boy is an old hard-knocking veteran. It wouldn't surprise me if he's been through the claim box before.
Sure.
And kind of the same with Stormy Liberal as well. So great job by him. Awesome day. Was happy for him.
Well, and we'll get to all of that in a little bit here. But before we get to that, we have the lovely Milena with some news.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, John. And, yes, we have some news for you today. Okay. Windstar Farm announced on November 9th that Battle of Midway, winner of the Las Vegas Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Del Mar on November 9th, has been retired from racing and will commence stud duty in 2018.
Sharp Azteca will turn for home in front. Battle of Midway runs a big one on the outside and now takes the lead as they turn for home. Battle of Midway, Sharp Azteca fights on from the inside. The two of them come to the final 16th together. Awesome Slew is third, Practical Joke is fourth. Battle of Midway, Sharp Azteca coming down to the line together. Battle of Midway has defeated Sharp Azteca in the Dirt Mile.
His fee has been set at $20,000 with full standing and nursing. The son of Smart Strike out of the Concerto Rigoletta, Battle of Midway retires as his sire's latest millionaire, having won 5 races from 10 starts for career earnings of $1.2 million for trainer Jerry Hollendorf. Bolstered by the sale of Champions Songbird for $9.5 million to Mandy Pope and Tepin for $8 million to Coolmore's MV Magnier, Fasig Tipton's recently concluded November sale soared to record levels. Gross receipts for the auction were $74.2 million for 150 lots sold, the highest in the sale's history, according to Fasig Tipton officials. The average of $645,214 per head was the third all-time, and the $250,000 median price was the second highest of all time. With their single purchases, Pope's Whisper Hill Farm and Magnier were the leading buyers, respectively. The leading consigner was TaylorMade Sales Agency. With Songbird in its consignment, TaylorMade had 20 horses sell for $20,355,000, or a tick over $1 million per lot. Three Chimneys Farm announced on November 8th that Leading Horse of the Year candidate and 5-time Grade 1 winner Gunrunner will stand for the 2018 breeding season for a fee of $70,000 after his next scheduled start in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational on January 27th at Gulfstream Park. A son of Candy Ride, Gunrunner has won 11 of 18 starts for Windshell Thoroughbreds, Three Chimneys Farm, and trainer Steve Asmussen, and has amassed earnings over $8.9 million. Also on November 8th, Judmont Farms announced that 4-time grade or Group 1 winner Arrogate will stand for $75,000 in 2018. His book will be restricted to 142 mares, according to the farm. While conditioned by Bob Baffert, Arrogate, a son of Unbridled Song, won 7 of 11 starts and earned a North American record of over $17.4 million. And in the wake of the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar on November 3rd, the National Thoroughbred Racing Association, the NTRA, released its final North American Top Thoroughbred Poll of 2017 on November 6th. Off a dominating performance in the November 4th Breeders' Cup Classic, Gunrunner held down the poll's top spot while Collected, runner-up in the Classic, moved up to number 2. Breeders' Cup Distaff Heroine Forever Unbridled rounded out the top 3. The complete top 10 for the final NTRA poll of 2017 is as follows. Number 1, Gunrunner. Number 2, Collected. 3, Forever Unbridled. 4, World Approval. 5, West Coast. 6, Arrogate. 7, Beach Patrol. 8, Abel Tasman. 9, Roy H. And 10, Lady Eli. And that's all for this week, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, you. Milena. And also, then, we should mention, though, the passing of a legend. Tom Gentry passed away earlier last week. And I was talking to his son, Olin, out at Keeneland the other day. He said that his dad passed without pain and without suffering. So, God bless you, Tom. R.I.P. Tom Gentry, 80 years old, I believe.
Changed the dynamic of the sales game, that's for certain.
Yeah.
He was a pioneer in many ways. Lived life large, and, you know, he was certainly a formidable figure in the consigning game.
Yeah. Certain. Okay, so now we're going to go off to break here for a minute. But before we go to break, I do have to announce that the third annual Jockeys and Jeans, the Stallion season auction, is on December the 1st at 6 p.m. at Fasig Tipton. That's the Stallion season sale. It's for the benefit of the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And it's a good cause. And so get out there if you can. That's 6 o'clock on December the 1st at Fasig Tipton, the Jockeys and Jeans Stallion season sale.
Sounds like a good thing. Always yeah. A good cause. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Foundation for a long time does a lot for the riders, obviously, and is a definitely a necessary component of thoroughbred horse racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so we're going to go off to break. When we come back, we'll get Frank Miramati on the phone and get his insight as to what he in the Breeders' Cup. Okay, we'll be back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to ESPN Radio 1300 AM. I'm on with John Gaver. I am Frank Lyons, and I'm pleased to be joined right now by an old pal of mine and a great old character, Frank Miramati. Frank, how are you?
I feel great, thank God. How are you guys?
Well, I feel pretty good. Now, how did you do on Breeders' Cup?
I picked a few winners along the way, off slowly, dwelt, and then rallied late.
Oh, good, good.
Much better than me. It was kind of crazy form on the day, I thought.
It really was. It was very exciting, though. I thought, as has been well stated by many in the industry, I thought the tracks were fair. I thought the competition was great. From everything I've heard, the venue was fantastic, and good for the people at Del Mar. I know I had a couple of friends, longtime friends, that were trying to find tickets just to get in on Saturday. And I even called a few people, and they were unable to get them. So I think they kept everything under control to make sure that it was a comfortable experience, much like what happened at Keeneland. And when I was at that Keeneland Breeders' Cup a couple of years ago, I thought that was just a fantastic venue and it couldn't have been handled any better.
You know, I have to say that you're 100% right, even with Del Mar, but Keeneland, because, you know, I have to be honest with you, I stayed away that day because I thought it was going to be a complete garbage show with all the people going in and going out, but everyone that went to Keeneland said it was the most fantastic Breeders' Cup they had, and I believe that Del Mar is the same sort of way.
Absolutely.
Good for both tracks. For both tracks, because they're such popular places, and you know, it's good that they stepped up on the biggest stage.
Yeah. Now, Frank, who's your star performer on the day?
You know, I mean, I guess you have to say Gunrunner because he took some serious heat. You know, it's a pretty obvious answer, but I thought Gunrunner was giant in victory, and it was just one of those performances that we'll always remember because he had never wanted a mile and a quarter. Mm-hmm. He took the pressure, and he was drawing off late. So good for him and his connections.
Good for Florent Giroux, Steve Asmussen, and the Winchell Thoroughbreds and Three Chimneys Farm. The four-year-old by Candy Ride out of Giants Causeway Mare, Quiet Giant, proved to be a quiet giant on the afternoon.
No doubt about it.
I saw Giants Causeway in the Breeders' Cup Classic against Tisnow. That was one of my favorite moments ever in the horse racing.
Yeah,
me too.
I called Tisnow winning the Super Derby, and I lost my voice at Churchill Downs screaming for him down the stretch. And I was past the finish line. We had moved because, as you can imagine, my seats were closer to the top of the stretch at the beginning of the day. But by then, I was able to relocate. And I was past the finish line, and you couldn't tell from my angle who won, but you could see Chris McCarron waving his arms, and that was just a great moment in racing.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I was on the, weirdly enough, on the track apron that day, and it seemed like Mick Cannon and Giants Causeway were like right in my grill there. They were pretty wide, as I remember. And what a great race.
Yeah, Mick Cannon will be remembered, unfortunately, for dropping the reins in the Breeders' Cup rather than being the unbelievable jockey that he was, to the American viewers anyway. But Mick Cannon was such a tremendous rider, and also Chris McCarron was a tremendous rider. And Tisnow came out the best, as Tisnow had Tisnow's ability and Chris McCarron aboard.
Hard knocker.
A very hard knocker.
Great development of a three-year-old that year.
Yeah, big development of a three-year-old. And now, what did you make of Arrogate?
Well, I just think that it was clear that he, going into the race, I did not expect to see the dud that he threw. But when you look at it, he had run two very subpar performances at Del Mar.
Sure.
And here's the thing. It's another example. Look, one of the things that's so overrated, and we can't help it because we're all, and there are so many sharp people that watch workouts and such. But remember, these are the best horses in the world. So who's going to look bad? Arrogate is a grand, beautiful animal.
Sure.
And so when he's galloping around 3 or 4 seconds slower than he'll need to, he's going to look good because he's just a beautiful, beautiful horse. I don't think it was the track that beat him this day. I really don't. I just think it was the effects of a long campaign. He didn't break well. He just wasn't at the top of his game. He certainly had the pace to run at. Mm-hmm. The old Arrogate would have made his presence felt. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that he just tailed off at the end of a brilliant campaign as a racehorse. You know, I thought, I really did, and I'm not just saying this, after the Dubai World Cup, I felt that the comments of the greatest horse ever were absolutely ridiculous, despite the fact that I'm a huge fan of every element of that horse, which would be the trainer. Mm-hmm. There's nothing finer than the pink cap of Judmont and Mike Smith. But, you know, what happens is, in all of sports, everyone becomes the greatest of all time so quickly.
Yeah,
and,
good point.
You know, we have to think back at history and you know what horses have done in their careers. That performance in Dubai was legendary, don't get me wrong, and his efforts, you know, running down California Chrome, beyond great. But it's so easy to get carried away and not watch full campaigns before we make these judgments. And
sure.
It's just unfortunate that the best Arrogate wasn't there on Saturday, November 4th.
Well, I agree with you, Frank, that it was the long campaign because he just never got over that Dubai race. I mean, I believe that's it. Would you think, John?
And it's weird how I agree with you. I mean, it was such a monster effort, but it's kind of weird how Gunrunner flourished after Dubai.
Sure.
And, you know, Arrogate never really showed up. I don't know if it was Saratoga. Maybe that had something to do with it. We all know horses blossom up there. But what a great job by Steve Asmussen and his whole team of managing him. And, you know, he kind of showed that new dimension where he could switch off a little bit in rate. And, you know, Florent fits him like a glove.
Yep.
And he'll be really salty in South Florida, I would say.
And in the breeding show.
I think the real reason is Steve Asmussen finally outdid Bob Baffert's hair.
Yes, no kidding. Right. What? Yeah. He's unreal.
So I like the way that you said that Arrogate has ran two very subpar races since he came back from, because one of those subpar races was getting beat a half a length in the Pacific Classic.
But, I know.
Yeah, but I know.
It's funny, right? But I really thought that was a subpar effort.
Me too. Me too. And you have to give a lot of credit to Collected. Of the four Baffert horses going into the Pacific Classic, I probably would have picked him to come out the fourth best. And he made me look stupid and a liar by running a tremendous race to be second to Gunrunner.
I actually completely threw out collected.
Oh, me
I
too.
I thought he had no chance whatsoever in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yep.
And at you know, between the 3/8 and the 5/16, I was very quiet because he was putting in an amazing effort there, and I got to tip my hat to everybody on collected's team, because I just didn't believe. You know, I watched the Pacific Classic a number of times,
mm-hmm.
and my statement I made to my buddies was he had his fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, today he's going to face, you know, look, if you look at what he has to do, he's got to deal with Gunrunner early and potentially mm-hmm. Arrogate and West Coast late. I gave him zero chance, and I was obviously very incorrect about his ability, and that's why they run these races, and that's what makes this so much fun.
Yep.
You know, how about the day before and the performance from Forever Unbridled? I mean, how beautiful was she? She looked magnificent in the post-parade. She certainly outlooked the field, in my opinion,
yep.
Pre-race. And, you know, what a great job by Dallas Stewart getting her and that whole family to perform at the highest levels. And I know there was a lot of talk about the jockey change. I have an opinion on that whole situation.
Go on, which, give it a...
You know, I mean, it might not be the most popular opinion, but here's my opinion on that topic. I believe that the owner has a right to make a decision. The problem that I have with that, I think that the way, if it was an ideal circumstance, the way I would have said it, or the way I would have liked to have seen it, is if you're going to make such a harsh decision, I mean, Joel Rosario rode this mare flawlessly.
Fantastic.
Perfectly. And so if you're going to make such a brutal call at a late hour, the problem I would have with it is them not immediately offering to take care of the financial, especially Mr. 50. He's not exactly sweating out his next paycheck.
No, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So it would have made me feel better if they would have said, listen, I'm sorry, we have Johnny V available.
Yep.
We prefer Johnny V, and we're going to go that way, but you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Not leave it up to the stewards
yeah.
for them to. So that's the only problem I had with it.
Yep.
You know, Johnny V is one of the world's greatest riders. Joel Rosario, I think Joel Rosario has become the new Eddie De La Russa, because he, you know, he wins these races sometimes by the narrowest of margins,
yeah.
almost like a highlight film. And maybe, you know, Mr. Fipke might have swallowed a few things at the top of the stretch in his last race at Saratoga,
yeah.
and maybe just didn't want that drama. Who knows? But, yeah. I mean, I love Joel Rosario. I think he's a fabulous finisher, tremendous hands. He's great on the front end.
Yep.
But the owners, you know, the owners pay the bills. It's the owner's horse. And so if that's his decision, as unpopular as it was, you know, he's entitled to make that. But I think that the issue there is that he should have just made it not to where they had to go to the stewards. I didn't like that part of the whole deal.
Well,
but
of course.
Take nothing away from the mare. She took care of business. Johnny V gave a flawless ride. I think if Joel Rosario had ridden her that day, she would have won as well.
Yep.
But, you know, it was a very short margin of victory. And so in the end, Mr. 50 is probably patting himself on the back because it worked. You know, it worked out. It wasn't one of those deals where, you know, she got jinxed. But Dallas Stewart, great horseman, great guy,
yeah.
friendly person.
Super
loves
guy.
Loves the fans, loves the game. Can't be happier for him.
100%. I couldn't agree more with you, Frank. And you're so right that Chuck Fipke, he didn't need to let this go to the stewards. You know, letting it go to the stewards is putting it out in the public. And, you know, although the bettors like me and you and John would have looked at Forever Unbridled and said, where is Rosario? Velasquez was aboard, and Joel Rosario should, you know, because when it comes to money, Mr. Fipke doesn't have anything to worry about. He's a very blessed man and very blessed to have this filly. He's a diamond mine, you know, he owns diamond mines. And you didn't need to let this go out in the public that you had any sort of intention of trying to get out of paying Joel Rosario.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't know, maybe it was something, I thought that they just wanted her to lay a little bit closer. If you look at the PPs, every time Johnny's been on her, she's laid a little closer. And, you know, with the Del Mar Strip kind of, you know, she'd never run over it before, but I think she's won like 8 races over 8 different racetracks. What an unbelievable mare. And, to take nothing away, as Frank mentioned about Joel Rosario, probably one of my favorite riders. You're not going to beat him. You're not going to outfinish him in the last 16th of a mile.
100%. Stellar Wind, I kind of had a feeling that this was going to happen. She threw in a clunker. What was the reason for that, I wonder?
I just think that it was another situation where, you know, she was facing a tough field. She's so honest. She had those narrow victories with mm-hmm. that big battle.
3 for 3
over the
at Delmar.
Year with Vale Dory. And I just think that, you know, Father Time caught up with her too, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Now, what about the Juvenile? One of the upsets on the card was Bolt de Oro getting beat from the 11 hole, but we kind of said that, you know, we said like he's a single, but the fact that he's in the 11 hole makes him not a single.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, he ran a great race, but let's take nothing away from the winner there. The winner is a very, very nice colt.
Very nice.
And if they met tomorrow, I got news for you. I'd be on Team Chad Brown in round two of that deal because this horse finished up beautifully. He showed a tremendous amount of quality. And keep in mind, you know, he was a horse that had never even won a race before. Good
yeah,
magic.
Right.
And, you know, in his debut, I had not even thought about this horse prior to the Breeders' Cup, and a friend of mine was talking to me. I loved Free Drop Billy in this race. I've always liked him. He's a good-looking horse, and I liked his last win in Keeneland and the Breeders' Futurity. And a buddy of mine said, I'd like the maiden. And I said, who's the maiden? And we were just talking before I had even looked at the past performances.
Yeah.
He mentioned it was a Chad Brown maiden, a Curlin. I said, wait a minute. Is that the horse that ran in the first race one day against a Pletcher horse? And he said, yes. I said, you know, I always thought, and for some reason, I don't know why, I don't know where I was on October 7th, I was obviously in some sort of a fog because I didn't even watch the Champagne. I didn't even realize he had run in the Champagne. I know where I was.
You were in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. So I fell out of touch for a few weeks. But that horse showed in his debut. I even said that day when he went down at 3-5, I said, this horse, there will be people nauseous about this horse later that they went down at 3-5 because he looked like a horse who wanted no part of 6.5 furlongs.
Yeah.
But he looked like a horse of quality in the stretch that
yep.
day. And, you know, this is the time in which there's the old my buddy Larry Letterman, one of the most, I call him the most entertaining announcer ever. In his day, in the 80s, when all the sports books in Vegas would mute everybody out except for Larry Letterman, he was in form that was, he would come up with stuff in race calls that was second to nobody ever. But what he always said is his handicapping is based on the trainer and trainer intent. When Chad Brown puts a maiden in a Breeders' Cup race,
yeah.
that obviously has a bright future,
mm-hmm.
you could pay attention. And that was a giant performance from
giant.
Magic.
First time around two turns also.
Yes, yes. Good run.
Yeah, $1 million purchase, Keeneland September yearling, by Curlin out of the hard spun mare, Glinda the Good. He's a very nice prospect. I'm not sure, if I agree with you about Bolt de Oro being, being second best if they matched up today. He got the worst of trips. He broke from the 11 hole, and around the first turn, he was 11 wide. He lost a tremendous amount of ground around the first turn, and I don't say that he's not of the same caliber of Good Magic, but I'm not sure that he's not either.
No, he's a nice colt, but yeah. I'm just saying, people were talking about him like he was the next coming of Seattle Slough.
Sure.
I mean, Seattle Slough would have overcome the 11 hole that day. I don't want to be harsh.
But yeah, I got you.
If he was some ridiculously talented horse,
yeah,
he could still win with all of that nonsense. And I'm not taking anything away from him. I thought it was a very, very good performance. And look, they're looking forward to next year. It's a beautifully bred horse on both sides. And Mick Ruiz has done a great job.
Great job.
I wish I owned any progeny of Medaglia d'Oro.
Sure. Now,
I'll take the worst Medaglia d'Oro ever.
you probably wouldn't. But, so what about World Approval in the Mile? Just have a word about him. Just tremendous. What confidence. Johnny Velasquez gave him a peach of a ride, and he proved to be the winner, winning his fifth race of the year in six starts. And now this was his third win in a row. He's just a fantastic five-year-old gelding by Northern Fleet.
Yes, out of a With Approval mare. And, of course, With Approval, I always remember him for chasing my main man, Golden Pheasant, in the Arlington Million many moons ago
right.
in 1990. But, when he won the Dixie, I loved him that day, and he won so well. When he came back in the four-star Dave, I was among many who completely ignored him.
Yep.
And he won there, and then he won the Woodbine Mile. So in the Breeders' Cup Mile, I actually liked him as my top selection World Approval. I thought that he had just finally proven that this is his game. At a mile, he's going to be tough, and no matter what. And he ran accordingly. He got the trip of trips, I agree, but he capitalized with that.
Sure.
And he sealed up possibly an award, and maybe rightfully so. I mean, who did a better job this year? I thought Suidoa looked very, very well in the track, the number 8 horse there. the horse who had won the
Shadwell Mile.
But he didn't really kick as hard as I would have liked to see him kick. And I was with the general public that thought that Ribchester might be coming back a little quick there. I was not surprised at all with the Breeders' Cup Mile.
Sure. Now, I'll give you a little pointer as to Soudoir. One thing that Bobby Frankel always said was when a horse comes from Europe and they run off the plane and they run really good, the worst thing you can ever do is run those horses back, and especially ship them to the West Coast from the East Coast and run them again. Because I think when you look at Soudoir's form, it's tremendous form, but you don't take that into contention that he's coming back in like less than a month, shipping from England to Keeneland and shipping from Keeneland to Delmar. It's a bit too much to ask.
Yeah, it was a tough task for him. And he had every chance once they turned. You know, he didn't get a bad trip, I didn't think. He looked like he was in striking range. He just didn't have what was necessary. And I think you're right. Those Bobby Frankel horses, those were a lot of fun to watch when he would unleash them. I preferred the ones that came like with three starts into the U.S. First-time LASIK, see you later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. It was like textbook.
Now, listen, Frankie, you were over in Ireland for a month or so. You were over there checking out the betting exchange wagering. Was that right?
Yes. I've never been to Ireland, and I went out there, and it's... I'll tell you what, folks, listen closely to this. If you have not been to Ireland, I highly recommend, if you have the privilege of getting overseas, to take a trip. The nicest people in the world, couldn't be more accommodating, couldn't be friendlier, and they have a great lifestyle. They all look very happy. I mean, if there's some miserable people that I didn't see them, I was trying to find, like, who's unhappy in here.
Yeah. They have an old saying, you wear your face.
They have that exchange wagering, which is a very unique situation, and it's offered in a more expansive manner, and it's very interesting the way they have betting shops on you know, seemingly every block.
Yep.
And a lot of action. It's all about soccer, to me, is what I notice. When you walk in those places, the U.S. racing is definitely shuffled off to the side. It's not important at all.
That's in the little black and white TV in the back.
Right. You know what they have also, though, that people are firing away on? I found this quite intriguing, was virtual races.
Yeah.
Virtual dog races, virtual horse races. It's really amazing how they have that stuff going, but
Frank,
that city center in Dublin is quite a sight and just a very, very incredible experience.
They're sick puppies, Frank.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
What do they do? How do they support it? I mean, do they work? What are they doing? Are they picking winners? What's going on over there?
Well, they're just, I mean, how can you pick winner on virtual horse racing?
I have no idea.
You just pick a horse and hope for the best.
I didn't take any shots on the virtual.
Yeah, now, Frankie, don't be making
it's
up
hard
porcupines.
To find a good one in the post parade. Yeah. I take pride in my post parade analysis, and it's very, very difficult to come with that in a virtual race.
well said. Yeah. And what about the dogs? How are you supposed to wrap your head around that?
We did go to the dog races.
There you go. Shelburne Park.
One night in, what was the name of it?
Shelburne Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shelburne Park. We went there and we had steam on two dogs. No joke. a guy from Dutch Fair gave us two dogs. And I really have to find out how this, they both won. The first one went wire to wire, fought off some early challenges and didn't get impeded going to the first turn. But the second dog, I can't remember his name. I'm trying to find the program now. I wish I could tell you. It was something Jim. This was a huge dog. He was like the farm away of dogs.
Really?
When he went into what would be the clubhouse turn, it was sick the way this dog like backed off and rated. He had speed, but he saw that there were issues, and you could just see that he went at his cruising speed, let the other two dogs go, sat there, pounced, and opened up. I'm like, this dog will continue to gallop. I can't wait to see. And it was a night where there were a bunch of, I guess, qualifiers. I would say that dog would have been double tough in the finals. I have to look him up to see what he did down the road, because that was the most impressive dog I've ever seen.
Oh, very good. So you had a good time.
Unbelievable time. Great people there, great experience, and I highly recommend it. Actually had a chance to go over to England as well and enjoy a day of racing at Newmarket. Saw Roly win, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
At Newmarket, and that place was
beyond extraordinary. Went to Tattersall's to watch the tail end of a day in a sale to see that whole experience.
Yeah.
And good stuff all the way around. The Irish people are as kind as they get when it comes to the U.S. And I was thinking of you quite a bit, Frank, when I was over there, because I said, you know, now I understand much more about Frank.
Now I can see why he's such a nice guy.
Now that I see guys partying fiercely and showing no weariness whatsoever, now I know why Frank has been able to keep this campaign going without ever going to the whip.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, I think.
So
Frankie, now any plans to go back to Ireland?
I don't know when, but the sooner the better. I look forward to it. It's a great place, and I'm going to be heading over to Aqueduct next month to do some work there, so I'll be a lot closer.
Yeah, you get at least you'll get some of the weather.
Yeah, you know, I love cold weather. That's why I'm going out.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, let's put it this way. 50 degrees yeah. to me and I'm freezing.
Yeah. You love to get up. You love to get up in the morning, start the car, and come back into the bathroom and get ready.
Yeah. But you got to do it.
You got
to
do
it.
Get
an opportunity to call in New York. Man, Fred Cappicello was there. So, you know what?
There you go.
Got to put the blinkers on.
You got
to
do
blinkers
it.
Blinkers and gloves on. Gloves yeah. on, blinkers on, and get to work.
All right. So, you're calling Golden Gate today?
Calling Golden Gate this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, Frank, thank you so much for coming on. And get to studying. And have a great weekend, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Appreciate you guys. Love your show, guys. You're doing a fabulous job.
Glad to hear your health's doing well. Keep
yes,
it up, buddy.
That's right.
Very, very blessed.
All right.
Take
Frank
care.
Miramati, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Frank. So we'll go off to break now. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to John Gaver and Frank Lyons and Riders Up on 1300 ESPN. Welcome back to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM, John Gaver and Frank Lyons, and we're happy to be joined on the phone by the Breeders' Cup winning trainer, Peter Miller. Peter, how are you?
How you doing, guys?
Oh, very good. You have to be thrilled.
Yes. Words really don't describe. I still feel like I'm in a bit of a dream state, you
sure.
know. The owner called me today and said, I heard you won two races, Breeders' Cup, you know. And I said, that's what they tell me.
Yeah. Now, you have one-of-a-kind enthusiasm for the sport. You're very vocal and so enthusiastic about the game, the way you stand there. That's your own little place now, is it, Pete,
before
you watch the race?
You know, I wear my heart on my shirt sleeve, as they say, and people know you can tell whether I've had a good day or a bad day.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, walking to the winner's circle if you've ever been fortunate enough to experience it. I mean, I thought your reactions on TV on Breeders' Cup Day were awesome. I mean, awesome for the sport, just really genuine.
Yeah.
Happy for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. I don't know, some of these English fellas, I can't tell if they won a Breeders' Cup race or lost their dog. they come by it naturally, and I come by it naturally, and it is what it is, and happy to be a part of it.
You almost looked like you were in shock after they finished 1-2. Stormy Liberal and Richard's Boy finishing 1-2. Was that very unexpected?
I think I was in shock. I think I still may be in shock. This business is so difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, winning these kinds of races is so difficult. And so to run 1-2 in one is kind of just unheard of and not possible.
Yeah.
So everyone keeps telling me it happened. So.
Well, it absolutely did.
And that was a Stormy Liberal, just a salty claim for 40,000. What did you see in him before that made you kind of want to drop a claim slip on him?
The Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, right.
Had it in the back of your mind?
I'd like to take all the credit for it, but honestly, I believe it was the owner and his friend Dave Landsman came up with the horse.
Yeah.
You know, the horse showed some fast figures from before and had coming off a layoff, looked like he was fresh. And, you know, we took a shot, and we just got lucky.
And so now, what happened in the Jaipur the time before? Because he finished eighth, beating like 10 lengths, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if he just didn't like the course, or if he didn't ship, or had just gotten over the top, you know, because he just didn't fire at all that day.
Yeah.
And then he came back, and he we weren't sure he's going to run again, because he, about a week after he came back, he we think he got a spider bite in the hind leg. His leg blew up like a stovepipe.
Really?
And it took about 60 days and two or three trips to the clinic for it to, you know, come back down.
Wow.
That's always a fun time there.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, we weren't sure. It was touch and go. And, you know, just really the last 30 days, we really even started to think about the Breeders' Cup, because he started to breeze and was breezing like his old self. And I, you know, told Mr. Hartunian, I said, you know, this horse is deserves a chance. You know, this horse is a good horse, and I know 5'8 seems short for him, but he'd always make the lead coming across the dirt at Santa Anita, which is about at the 5'8 pole.
Sure.
So, you know, we took a shot, and we got a just a beautiful trip and a great ride by Joel Rosario, and Richard's boy ran his heart out too, and got a great ride by Flavian Pratt. So I felt bad for Richard's boy.
Sure. And now they're both owned by Rockingham Ranch, so didn't really matter to them which ran first or second.
It really didn't matter to them, and we were just, like I said, just kind of, you know, dumbfounded by the whole thing, and just in a bit of a dream state.
Sure. Now, what about Roy H? Kent DeSormo rode him. Kent DeSormo also rode a Breeders' Cup winner for me, a Breeders' Cup sprint.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. And that was his only other Breeders' Cup sprint win.
Is that right?
So we were walking out actually from the paddock, and I said to him, I said, have you ever won the sprint? And he said, yeah, 30 years ago on Frank Lyon's horse. I said, I remember that filly.
Yeah.
So that one we kind of expected. Expected to win. I felt like he, you know, with the draw and everything and the way the horse had been training and running, we felt like he should have been undefeated this year.
Yeah.
And so we felt, you know, they were kind of overlooking us as the third choice in the race. But he, again, got another perfect trip and ran like himself. And, you know, we were just couldn't have been happier.
Now, what's the difference between him this year and last year? Because he was 0-4 last year, a second place finish, and basically in one other than allowances. And this year
No, you're absolutely right. The main thing is we castrated him. We gelded him. And, you know, the
he's carrying
the
2 stone less.
The ultimate equipment change.
Yes. Right? That's this horse wasn't claimed, right?
No. Yeah. We bought him. He had always shown grade one talent.
Yeah.
We paid $300 for him at the 2-year-old sale.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had good pedigree, more than ready, out of Elusive Diva, who was a really good race mare.
Yeah.
And, he'd always shown that kind of talent. He just never put it all together. We gave him some time. He had some niggling issues, some feet problems and hind end issues. And we gave him some time and we cut him. And he's just been a beast.
Yeah. Why? He's won 5 of 6 this year. And he is an absolute beast. Now, did you also ran Calculator in the race?
Yeah, you know, and Calculator ran well. We missed some time, you know, due to chronic foot issues. And, you know, I think if I'd have had him, you know, trained properly 100%, I think he certainly could have hit the board.
Sure.
But he kind of ran, made a middle move and kind of flattened out a little bit. But I really kind of pressed him into it. He only had about three or four works in within a 60-day period. And, you know, I think he was just a little bit short.
He's a cool old horse, big gray son of a gun. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
Something about him.
Yeah, he's a neat horse. He's a neat horse, and he's got grade one ability. He should have won a couple grade ones already. He's just been, you know, chronic foot issues and chronic bad luck.
Yeah.
That's a bad exacta.
Yeah, bad exacta.
Yeah.
How did they all come back?
you know, miraculously, they all came back great.
Brilliant.
You know? And so, you know, kudos to the track man and the turf man at Del Mar.
Sure.
They all four came out of the races really sound and really in good shape and were, you know, considering sending Stormy Liberal to Japan for, or not Japan, to Hong Kong. For the $2.5 million sprint race on the grass over there in December.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's awesome, yeah. And so now, are the rest of them done for the year?
Well, you know, Roy H. is definitely done for the year.
Sure.
He's done enough. As far as Calculator, you know, I'm not ruling out anything. When he's good and his feet are good and I can train him properly 30 days straight,
yep.
I think he can run with anyone. So the Cigar Miles in play.
Yep.
Richard's boy just astounds me, his energy. I can't get this horse tired. I don't
really?
Care if I run him every 2 weeks. He just,
really?
He just is, yeah, he's just a, I've never seen a horse like him. Just bounces out of every race, runs his eyeballs out, and you would never know it.
Huh. He's a grand horse. He's a 5-year-old by Idiot Proof, a Calbred, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He's a horse that we bought privately. I think after his maybe third or fourth race, and he just, I mean, we sent him to Dubai, we sent him to Maryland, we sent him to Pennsylvania. Twice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he ran 2 weeks before this race, ran his eyeballs out, got beat ahead. And then he comes back and does it again, and I still can't keep his feet on the ground.
Is that right?
Man, it's hard not to like a horse like that.
Now,
he's a favorite.
Yeah. Favorite. Now, speaking about favorites, what about your kids? How are they looking at the game?
You know, they're great. Thanks for asking. Yeah. You know, I've got two great sons, 5 years old and 3 years old, Jacob and Seth, and Seth just loves the horses, can't get enough of it, and Jacob loves the races.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got a couple of future degenerates on my hands.
Yeah.
Always seems to work out that way. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
At least if you're winning races, winning titles, at least they'll have something to go on.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather they were owners than trainers, but whatever they want to do is okay with me.
That's cool.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little insight as to the goings-on and in winning Breeders' Cup races. And it sounds like you're in great form and you keep in great form. And the best of luck to you.
Thank you, Frank. And
thank you very much for your time.
Thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And all the best.
Okay.
Congratulations again.
Yeah. Pete Miller, everyone. Thank you so much, Pete. So now we're going to go off to break here on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. You're listening to John Gaver and Frank Lyons. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. I'm Frank Lyons, alongside of John Gaver. And Johnny, are you ready to do some handicapping?
I believe I am, yes.
Okay, good. How, let me ask you, how's the green sheet doing?
Not too badly. Had four winners at Churchill on Thursday.
Good.
Positive ROI day. So we're not doing too bad. We'll see if we can continue the roll through the weekend.
And so tell me, who did you choose in the Commonwealth?
The Commonwealth will be, you know, Mr. Misunderstood is coming into this race.
Undefeated on the grass, 6-for-6.
Undefeated on the grass out of a Burt Bacharach.
Yeah.
Afternoon Delights is the sire of the broodmare, Jody's Delight in here. But I am not going to take Mr. Misunderstood.
So I was looking to try to beat him in this race, and I just think that he looks a little bit unbeatable.
Pete looks tough. I mean, he's going to get a good trip, a good kind of pocket stalking trip, stalking Gorgeous Kitten, and the one Sharm El Sheikh, the long shot's got a little bit of early foot, as does the 3, Mr. Cub. So you figure the pace will be pretty legitimate. I like, despite the wide post draw, the 8 Giant Payday.
Really,
Wilkes in here, who's run well a couple times over the Matt Wynn turf course. Very consistent horse, I think, will be overlaid on the tote board. And, you know, I know he flattened out a little bit in the Jefferson Cup going a mile and an eighth, but I like the slight cutback to a mile and a 16th today. And Chris Landeros is very familiar with this fellow, well-bred horse out of the Seeking the Gold mare by Giant's Causeway. I like Giant Payday.
He was third, beaten 4.5 by Mr. Misunderstood, and he's 2 pounds worse off. And now, so he's got like 6 lengths to make up, but you'd think that with the shorter run and the shorter distance of this race that he can do that.
I think he can, and I don't think 2 pounds matters.
Okay, so I will go for the 6-7, Tis a Slam, Exacta. Roger Atfield sends down the 3-year-old by Tis Now, who's won 2 of 5 on the grass. It was a winner of the Ontario Derby last time out on the synthetic main track, but he's 2 wins and 5 starts on the grass, and he goes for Roger Atfield. What a great old legend, and Robbie Alvarado. So I'm going to go with the Mr. Misunderstood to Tis a Slam Exacta.
The 4 is an interesting kind of horse parlor for Eddie Keneally, who's always kind of cut out to be a nice horse. Eddie hitting at a 44% clip at the meet.
Yeah.
And gets reunited with Julian Le Perru in this spot, stretches out a 16th of a mile. I would, you know, that was a nice effort at Kentucky Downs, kind of bounced a little bit off that race. Has a win over the local turf course in Louisville, 6-1 on the morning line. I would be taking a look at him a little bit in the paddock and post parade.
Yeah, I agree with you. That parlor looks to be tough. Now, just to say a few words about the Red Smith at Aqueduct, because that's a great old race, a race that has been there for many, many years.
Yeah, 58th running, named after the famed New York turf rider Red Smith. So, you know, awesome race going 1 mile and 3 panels on the old Aqueduct turf course.
$200,000 is the purse on that, and I see that Chad Brown has Money Multiplier in there, who looks to be pretty tough, is 1-for-1 at Aqueduct. He will go off as your favorite, but I'm going to the other Chad Brown in this race, and that is all the way on the outside, the 10 Call Provision, who's 3-for-3 at Aqueduct, 3-for-4 at this 1 3/8 distance with a second, and I believe is coming into the race in the best form of his life. 4-year-old by Lemon Drop Kid should love the distance, loves Aqueduct. You'll get 5-to-1.
Beautifully bred horse out of the Dynaformer mare, like you say, kind of the horse for the course in here. And definitely going to be more value than the other Chad Brown entrant, Money Multiplier. I was kind of intrigued by the 5 Oscar nominated. Yeah. He's coming out of the Canadian International over a very soft course. Traced Buzzard's Alley, who relishes that kind of going for Tim Glyshaw, and was just kind of, you know, stalked the pace a little bit and just kind of stayed there from an inside post draw. Mike Maker, very tough in these extended turf races, extended distance turf races. Jose Ortiz takes the call, 8-to-1 morning line. There's some things to like about the 5 Oscar nominated.
So I'm going to go with the 10 Call Provision. You're going to go with
the 5.
5 Oscar nominated. So we're putting a line through the favorite Money Multiplier there. So you
better. I'll take a shot to try and beat him.
Yeah. So now back to Churchill. And in the 9th race there today, it's a maiden special weight going 1 mile and 1/16. Purse of 60,000. There's some very well bred horses in there, by the way. Jack Vanberg has a Giant's Causeway out of the champion mare Blind Luck. She's by Pollard's Vision. Owned and bred by Mark Dedemonico. First-time starter today, 15-to-1, but just one to take a look at. I'm not saying that this horse will win or anything like that. I actually like the 6, Almorib, who has had 4 starts on the grass. Son of Blame out of a Battery mare. You know, obviously bred for the grass on the bottom side. But the Blame part of it, even though Blame was by Arch, and I can see the pedigree there going to the turf, I believe that this horse might just wake up a little bit. His form is good enough. He might just wake up a little bit. Got Lasix last time out, woke up a little bit, was 80-to-1, finished 3rd, beating 2.25. But I think, you know, looking through the race, I could poke a hole in everything.
Yeah, this is kind of a sketchy, you know, made an allowance event. The 10 looks okay from the outside. Don't like the post tap salute. Runs well fresh. $600,000 tap at Colt by trained by Steve Asmussen. The 5 looks all right. Fireball shot, you know, kind of been knocking on the door due to kind of graduate from the maiden ranks. You know, the 1 is kind of interesting. Going to save ground on the fence. Such a tease stretching out around or going back out around two turns again. Yeah. And, you know, for Paul McGee, who's done pretty well with limited starters at the tilt.
Yeah.
I kind of like the 10 a little bit despite the wide draw coming back off the layoff, freshened up by Mr. Asmussen, long hair and all.
Yep.
Ricardo Santana takes the mount. But I'll go with the 10.
At the same time, you will go with the 10, but you would not be in the least bit surprised that horse gets beat.
No, it's, you know, like I said, it's kind of a sketchy, you know, made an allowance event. I'd throw out the last one on the good turf at Kentucky Downs, an unorthodox course, back to the dirt today.
Sure.
That angle looks rather appealing, and, I'll, you know, 7-2 is a fair morning line price, I would say.
All right. And so then in the seventh race, a mile maiden special weight, going two turns on the grass. Some very well-bred horses in here.
No doubt about it. I mean, you got there's some nice horses in here. You got a Kitten's Joy here for Maker, and the 6 Marvelous Kitten. You know, the Uncle Mo, second off a layoff for Billy Mott.
The Warfront out of Plum Pretty. She won the Oaks.
It's kind of a, you know, I don't know about that demanding task going two turns right out of the box from the 10 hole.
Sure.
You know, kind of a 9-2. I'd be, you know, I'd want a little better price than that morning line installment.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a price then, John, okay? The 7 horse, America Great Again.
Interesting.
Yeah. Out of a Dyna former mare, raced one time on the main track, went off at 32-1. Was just kind of given a race and finished 6th, beaten 11¾. Not terrible start, but now on the grass for the second start by Congrats out of a Dyna former mare. I say she will at least be in the top 3.
Definitely be tighter, has all kinds of upside making it second start. I mean, the 14 could be pretty salty if it draws in off the also eligible list. Just kind of less than a 3 parts of a length from being you know, winning a couple races on the grass. So pretty nice oxbow, kind of an interesting young sire, actually. So the 14, if she draws into the race, might be worth a look as well.
Well, John, that's it for another day.
It's another show in the books.
Oh, yeah. And you all have a wonderful Saturday afternoon, the rest of your weekend also. And we will see you next week. All right. Frank Lyons and John Gaver for ESPN Radio 1300. Riders up.